Staff at Northern Ireland's high security prison at Macgabbery near Lisburn have been strongly criticised for watching and failing to intervene as a mentally ill prisoner blinded himself and injured his groin area. A report by the Prisoner Ombudsman published today says Sean Lynch inflicted extreme and shocking self-harm over a three-day period in June 2014. On the final day, it says two prison officers watched as the 23-year-old Derry man injured himself more than 20 times. So that's 20 occasions in just over an hour. It's quite unbelievable. I have been talking to his dad, Damien.
I'm actually sick and just pure sick. They know the prison staff stood by for over an hour watching them self-harm. And they tried to blame the security of the jail. If they hadn't got the keys of the jail, they might have escaped. That was the reason for not entering the cell. Absolutely disgusting, just.
During one period, this report says, Damien, lasting 67 minutes in which he permanently damaged his eyesight, prison officers observed his behaviour but did not intervene. As a dad, obviously you know a lot of the things that have happened to Sean when he was in Macgabbery, but when you hear that black and white in this report, it is quite shocking.
That's very shocking. I just to get understand how they can stand by and watch a human being causing self-harm themselves. That's probably all on dog show, to be honest with you. They should be taken up and they should be taken to courts and prosecuted for this one.
Give us a bit of the background, Damien, in terms of Sean and what had happened. How long had he been in prison, and what was his behaviour like just before he went in?
Sean's behaviour, well, I've watched Sean. He was 23 when he went into jail. I've watched him all my life, and he's never had no harm caused him, no marks, no none. And he'd done him at Gabby for 2 weeks, and he'd made an absolute mess of himself. The treatment he got was just...
Were you concerned at the time when he went in, Damien, that this was perhaps somewhere where he shouldn't be? I guess what I'm trying to suggest is, you know, for someone to go into prison, if they have got mental health issues, perhaps there would be an assessment at some point that said, maybe this isn't the place where you should be going.
Yeah, well, there was a letter actually done up by a police doctor the morning before he went to court. And that letter was to get him psychiatric treatment wherever he went straight away. And McGabbery actually failed the... It took Macgabbery 2 weeks to get John to see a psychiatrist. And the medical officer's assessment was prepared for court to be assessed right away. So they failed and they waited 2 weeks to get him assessed. Was that what I believe done? It didn't even happen.
And of course, when Sean was in prison, he did attack and quite seriously injure another prison officer.
Well, if you call him a prison officer, if you call him, I wouldn't call him officers, but... I've seen that Sean's been summoned to court, so he has, for assaulting a prison warden. He's been on Kevin Casey, he's been up under the court standing for Sean on assault charge or prison warden. So obviously, it's just, everybody knows Sean was mentally unstable when they done that. And if the prison warden wasn't seriously assaulted, I've seen the photos of this prison warden, and they had a small gash above his eye. There was a joke, so they're taking the court for it.
But obviously they would approach that. It was still an assault on a prison officer, and he had still physically attacked somebody while he was in there.
Well, they attacked him after the prison officer refused to get him help. Sean asked that prison officer for help. Sean's worst, the prison officer was his day in that morning, and they asked that prison officer for help, which the prison officer refused to help him because he had a carry on with his morning duties. At that stage, then Sean attacked him, which put me in that position. I might have done the same.
Obviously, there would be some, Damien, that will say that the physical violence against someone else, for whatever reason, isn't justified.
I don't agree with physical violence, but I don't agree with the prison staff. But Sean destroyed his life and my life and his family's life for as long as we love just. So I don't justify violence.
When did you learn, Damien, about what had happened to Sean when he was in there?
I learned, you mean when he blinded himself?
Yeah, when he had injured himself and he had blinded himself and he had caused this injury to his groin.
Well, he was injured himself for a week leading up to that, and I got a phone call. First time First time I knew, I got a phone call from mental health nurses. They say they're very concerned about him. And they gave me the word they'd look after him, and it'd be safe. And I've been contacting him basically every day after that. I can say everything's okay. And I was assured because the senior officer and the ward that they'd be well looked after and it'd come to no harm. Last talked to Sean about 2 hours before he actually blinded himself.
It is quite, it's grim even to read this. So for Sean to have gone through this and for you as a family then to try and to pick up the pieces, it is quite difficult even just to get your head around that.
Well, it's all something he's loved with now, and Sean has to love it. That people that's watched him doing it, they're still getting their big fat wages as far as I hear. They'll be retiring and enjoy themselves and generally they have a family and bring up a family, and they've took a lot away from Sean.
Of course, a lot would say that, you know, the majority were, you know, they were doing their job, they were doing what they had to do at the time.
They weren't doing their job. If any human being can stand back and watch any other human being doing what Sean was doing, they weren't doing their job. I believe that they punished them because they assaulted one of their officers the day before. And that's why they stood back and watched them.
They would, of course, deny that, Damien. They would say that they were doing their job.
Sorry?
Do you believe, Damien, as well, that there was perhaps some kind of caution because maybe they were concerned that because Sean had been violent in the past, that if they did intervene, if they got too close to him, that they might be attacked again?
Well, they might be. Could they not come under the cell and just handcuff him? Send 4 or 5 wardens on and handcuff him? And that's the end of the trouble. Like, that's what the police would do if they came under any pressure from violence. So why didn't they enter the cell and just handcuff him?
There'll be a lot of people, Damien, that will say that prison really wasn't the right place for Sean, and it's a very complex and difficult environment for them to work in the first place, and to bring someone in with Sean's needs, he should have been cared for elsewhere, he should have been treated elsewhere, and to be put into a general prison like that really was making it an almost impossible job for them.
Yeah, well, look, when Sean self-harms his groin, when they went to the outside hospital, should he not have been kept in hospital that night and assessed the next morning? If the jail staff thought they couldn't do the job, why not just let him stay in the hospital and get him assessed by the hospital staff?
The report goes on to say that there were also indications that Mr. Lynch was treated less favourably at outside hospitals because he was a prisoner.
Mr. Lynch, Sean was... If I walked into the hospital with the injuries Sean had, I'd be kept on overnight and assessed by a psychiatrist next morning. They treated Sean different because he was a prisoner and they sent him back.
What do you think of that?
It's absolutely horrible. They stitched him up and sent him back. Sean had to go through a 2 or 2.5 hour operation for them injuries once they went to Royal Victoria Hospital and they'd caused his groin. But they sent him back to the same cell again, and then they watched him the next night. 2 hours watching doing what they're doing, saying they didn't understand.
This report goes on to say as well, a contemporary independent assessment by a priest says that his condition is beyond anything the officers can cope with.
Mm-hmm. It was just a total failure from the prison authorities. They just failed. They failed it.
Do you feel let down by them?
Have been let down. Have you seen Sean really what he was? Sean needed help instead he was punished. And Sean wasn't guilty of any offences. Any offences that he was on there for was all dropped. There was no evidence, he was just on remand. And for 2 weeks the prison, they couldn't, what happened to the letter at the police, the doctors sent from the Stranraer police station?
Because he was initially in on an assault charge.
He wasn't convicted of any assault charge. He wasn't. There was never any. Sean was remanded because he broke bail conditions, and he wasn't allowed on the Derry side. And then over the Derry side, they played a game of football, and he was arrested that night and remanded. That's why Sean was in jail.
Damien, the prisoner ombudsman has made 63 recommendations to improve the care for people suffering severe mental health issues and them actually being in prison. Do you think, is that enough? Has that gone far enough, considering what your son has been through?
It's not only helped Sean, but it'll help all people's families, no. But Sean's life's ruined over, no. But hopefully, if these recommendations are followed up, somebody else, somebody may get to operate. But on my behalf, it's too late for my son and me and my family now.
Have you received any kind of apology, you or Sean?
I have no apology from a prison service. The only thing I've got from a prison service is a summons for Sean to go to court for a way to stop the prison warden. That's the only contact they've had with me.
And how does that make you feel? How does it make Sean feel?
How does it make Sean feel? I've had a headache from Sean because Sean wouldn't take it too well. I've tried my best to hide it from Sean as best I can. Because it would probably set him back all the work we've done with Sean over the last couple of years. And if he realised he's come back to court and maybe back to jail, it would set him back big time.
How is he now?
How is he? He can't see.
Has his sight completely gone, or has he got any kind of vision dimming?
No, he's no vision, no. His sight's completely gone. Everything's gone, his whole life's gone. Everything's just taken away from him. For prison officers, I wouldn't stand back and watch a dog doing what he's doing. I would phone a vet and get it help. And for them to stand back and watch, and they turn around and say the security of the jail was at risk. Well, was he going to jump 20 fences and pass 10 Alsatians and get a bus tomorrow and a train back to Derry with a set of keys? Not a joke. Man.
The Justice Minister, Claire Sugden, has said that this is an awful case for anyone concerned, everyone concerned, and I'm deeply sympathetic to Mr Lynch and his family. The Northern Ireland Prison Service Director General, Sue McAllister, said that I hope that recommendations to take that will be taken forward will provide some comfort to Mr Lynch and his family. Do they provide any comfort to you?
Comfort? No comfort.
Have you any confidence that anyone else that finds himself in the same position, a family or someone like Sean, made enough changes and amendments to their processes that this won't happen again?
I don't know. I can't. I don't know. I have no faith in them. So I haven't. I don't think anybody has any faith on them if it happened to their son.
Damien, one last question to you. How has this left your family?
Traumatised. They go through an ordeal. It's just a horrific experience for us.
Okay.
And I would like to add that all the staff involved, the Gabriel and the governor, it should be sacked or at least have a decency to resign from their job.
Okay. Damien Lynch, thank you very much. That's Damien, Sean's dad. I've also been speaking to Sean Lynch's solicitor, Kevin Casey, who gave me his thoughts.
I think, as everybody's already said, it's horrific. Makes very grim reading. I think from the point of view of the Minister for Justice, the only good news is that it happened before she took office. From the point of view of the Northern Ireland Prison Service, it's a disgrace. It's a shipwreck.
These 63 changes that they will now make, the recommendations from this report, have you much faith in those?
Well, recommendations are all very well if they're acted on. The difficulty that they have here is they can talk all they like about systemic failure, but when you have individuals administering the system that can allow this to happen, two officers sat and watched this. As Damien said to you there, two officers sat and watched this. And I mean, that beggars belief that they sat and watched another human being do that to himself. Now, it may be linked to the fact that there was an incident with one of their colleagues the day before. That's a question only they can answer. But
They would obviously, Kevin, they would deny that.
Of course they would. Of course they would.
The 63 recommendations that I keep going back to, these are the recommendations for improvement, of which 11 of these had been previously made and accepted by the Northern Ireland Prison Service. So 11 of these recommendations were made in the past.
But, I mean, I think I heard the Minister earlier talk about retraining. I mean, how do you retrain people that allow that to happen? That's not about retraining. That's about an attitude that will allow that to happen. I mean, a prisoner on suicide watch is allowed to go into a cell which wasn't searched beforehand, which wasn't searched afterwards. And when he's in that cell, manages to inflict a full thickness injury to his scrotum, 8 centimetres long. No search beforehand, no search afterwards. I mean, the question is, does suicide watch mean exactly that? You just watch while it happens? Or do you proactively try and stop someone doing what someone who was as ill as Sean was doing something to themselves? Okay. I mean, the starting point here is that on the 23rd of April, Sean was sent to McGabbery with a letter from a doctor saying that he required an urgent assessment, and nothing was done.
The Southeastern Trust have told the Nolan Show that this has been a tragic outcome for Mr. Lynch, and we have already expressed our sympathy to him and his family. It is really shocking listening and reading. 03030 80 55 55 on the phones this morning. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Sonny. It's a powerful testimony from a follower of a blind man that the prison service stood idly by and watched this man inflict the injuries that they inflicted upon him. May I say that I can't understand why this Sean Lynch was not subdued. They're quite happy to use a riot squad on all occasions on the prison service. Why was it not implied in this? Because they look through a keyhole, they look at a camera and watch a man tear his face apart. It's absolutely unbelievable. No human being on this earth could ever possibly sit back and watch this happen. How they were able to sit back and watch him is beyond me.
It says in this report, during one period lasting 67 minutes in which he permanently damaged his eyesight, prison officers observed his behaviour but did not intervene. And during that time, he inflicted 20 injuries to himself.
Funny, I hope that family can get some kind of compensation and take that prison authority to court on the grounds of failure to help this young man. They have sentenced that young man to a life of blindness, and now they have a cheek now, according to his forward, that he may be going to court. The prison service may be taking a blind man to court.
This report, Stephen, it does say, this line from a contemporary independent assessment by a priest says his condition is beyond anything the officers can cope with. And I'm not trying to defend anyone in this, but their mental health is a very complex, difficult issue for anyone to deal with. And if you don't have a certain amount of training, etc., experience, if Sean Lynch was in the wrong place in the first place, and that type of training was not provided in the system to try and help someone like Sean.
Benny, I'm a person here making a phone call to you. If
yes.
I was in that situation of them prison warders, and I watched a young man committing brutalising himself, I will be demanding that something be done. Should the riot squad come in and subdue and put him on a straitjacket or whatever the case may be, that should never have been allowed to happen.
67
it's
minutes.
An absolute disgrace that the prison service. I listened to Sue McAllister on Radio Foyle this morning trying to justify the prison service. How could you justify something like that there when a man has now been sentenced to blindness for the rest of his life? How can that be justified?
There's another element here, Stephen. I brought this in slightly with the earlier interviews, and this goes back to this Ombudsman report, and it says, it appears nonetheless that the officers complied with a strict interpretation of McGabbery's Governor Order 813, and that order requires intervention if a situation is life-threatening. So
yes.
This is defined, as it goes on to say, as a prisoner with a ligature with serious cuts or is unconscious or for any unexplained reason. Mr. Lynch was not profusely bleeding and therefore did not meet these criteria. Now that to me is something, it's very difficult to comprehend, because you go on to the next element of this, which says, on the other hand, the prison service suicide and self-harm policy requires that a prisoner who inflicts a serious self-injury should not be left alone even to summon help, as they may attempt further injury if left unattended. Would you interpret that as a slight discrepancy there, Stephen?
Oh, of course there is. There's a contradiction of terms there, totally. Purely on a layman's point of view, is even in the humanitarian situation, watching something like that going on is beyond belief. How could a Norse human being sit idly by and let this happen? It's beyond me, and I hope that family gets some form of compensation or is able to take another line of action against the prison authority.
Would money really make much of a difference, Stephen, if you'd lost your eyesight completely, as his dad was saying?
No, because you see all these recommendations.
63 of them?
Yeah, and there's been hundreds and hundreds and thousands, maybe, of recommendations through our situations in McGabbery Prison, and less than half of them's been acted upon. I would like you to come back to this subject a year from now and see how many have been acted upon. It's just an ongoing thing with McGabbery Prison. My point of view is that young man should have been subdued in some form. Prison wasn't the place for him.
Do you accept, Stephen, that prison from the ground up is a very difficult situation and circumstances to try and deal with? If you throw in someone with some severe and complex mental health issues that people perhaps do not have sufficient training for?
No, funny, not in the humanitarian sense of the word. No. Any person at all could not possibly sit back and watch that young fella inflict the injuries that he inflicted upon himself. And now the prison service have the cheek to take him to court for assault, a blind man to court for assault. Absolutely unbelievable, funny. I hope the family gets some kind of compensation. It's no amount of money could compensate that family. But I'll tell you as much, if they did get a good compensation, the prison service would think twice about letting this happen again.
You mentioned the recommendations, Stephen. 63 recommendations for improvement, of which 11 have previously been made.
Many of the rest recommendations have been followed through. I mean, it's unbelievable that Sue McAllister could come in and try and justify her prison colleagues for sitting back, all because he assaulted a prison officer the day before. Sure, any person must have knew that this was a man that was unwell.
Okay, well, hopefully, Stephen, that they will learn from these mistakes. And thank you for calling in. 03030 80 55 55. The South Eastern Health Trust have told us, as we said earlier, that it's a tragic outcome for Mr. Lynch. But you would have to ask yourself, when you've lost your sight, when you have such severe, complex mental health issues, and you are put into that type of environment, you know, what hope do you have?